This is a song by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. It was a favorite of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. If you want to be rid of the menace of the dog-like personality of Kali, then just sing the glories of the beautiful son of Mother Shachi, Shachi Nandana. He is the savior of Kali Yuga, Kali Yuga Pavana. And he is the destroyer of all fear caused by the age of quarrel, Kali Poyanashina. Lord Chaitanya badens Gadadhar Pandit with his love, Gadadhar Madam. And he is the treasure of the life of Sri Nityananda Prabhu, Nityar Pranadam. The fair complexion of Lord, Gora, is the most worshipful object of Sri Advaita Acharya, Advaita Prabhujita. He is affectionately called Nimai by his mother due to being born under a neem tree, and he has been named Vishwambar, the holder of the universe, by his grandfather. He is the only lord of Shiva's Pandit, Shiva's Ishwar, and he steals the hearts of all the assembled devotees, Bhakta Samuha Chitta Chora. Lord Chaitanya is the moon over the town of Nadia, Nadia Shashadar. The lord of Sri Mayapur Dham, Mayapur Ishwar, and the propagator of his own holy name, Nam Pravartana. He is saintly in behavior, Sura, and he is the instructor of householders, Grihi Jana Shikshaka. He is the hero of those who are in the renounced order, Nyasi Kula Nayaka. He is the husband of the goddess of fortune, Madhava, and he is overflowing with the ecstatic sentiments of Srimati Radharani, Radha Bhava Pura. Lord Chaitanya is the corrector and purifier of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Sarvabhauma Shodhana, the deliverer of King Prataparuja, Gajapati Tarana, and the source of nourishment for Srila Ramananda Roy, Ramananda Bhoshana. He is a great hero, Veera. He increases the ecstasy of Srila Rupa Goswami, Rupananda Vardhana. He maintains and protects Srila Sanatana Goswami, Sanatana Pavana. And he gladdens Haridas Thakur, Haridas Mundana. He is very grave, Dira. Lord Chaitanya meditates on the transcendental mellows of Brajadham, Brajaras Bhavana. He is the destroyer of all wicked mentalities, Dushta Mata Shatara. And he crushes the cheating propensity of pretending devotees, Kapati Vigatana. He is beautiful as Cupid, Kama. He maintains and protects his pure devotees, Shuddha Bhakta Palana, and he condemns dry speculative knowledge, Shuksha Jnana Tadana. He smashes pretentious and hypocritical devotion, Chala Bhakti Dushana, and he is the reservoir of pleasure, Rama. Kali Murkadam Jani Shachinandana, oh hey. Jnanatimirandasya jnananjana shalakaya chakshurunnidhamena tasmai shri gurave namaha. I'm reading from the Sri Bhaktisiddhanta by Bach, biography of His Divine Grace Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And this chapter is in the second section, three sections in this book. This is chapter 4, Preaching to Westerners in India. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was eager to preach to Western intellectual and administrative leaders in India. Whenever Westerners visited his mutts, he gave them special attention and wanted that they be decorously welcomed and hosted. For instance, he instructed the young boy, Jati Shekhara, to attend an Australian visitor to the Purushottam Math. Serve him, offer him water and Mahaprasad, see that no disturbance is caused to him. When receiving foreign dignitaries, Srila Saraswati Thakur would have some members of his retinue dressed in an occidental come oriental mode preferred by many western-leaning Indians, featuring medium-length black cassocks worn over narrow trousers plus Western-style leather shoes, booted and suited, as it was known in Bengal. Booted and suited. He did not go to meet Western scholars, but as his reputation as an extraordinarily lucid and erudite exponent of religious philosophy spread, several came to discuss with him. Among them were Dr. Magnus Hirschfeld, from Berlin, Professor Albert E. Southers, occupant of the Chair of Comparative Religion and Philosophy at Ohio University, who remained at Sri Gaudiya Math for about a month, associating with Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Professor Nixon of Oxford University, and Dr. Stella Crambridge of Calcutta University. Some Western scholars approached Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati out of intellectual curiosity, presuming non-whites incapable of higher thought. Yet he was not even slightly inhibited by the imagined cultural supremacy of Westerners. For with the eye of transcendence, he saw the apparent progress of European civilization as just another phase of Maya, and that Krishna consciousness, with its integral Vedic culture, is the eternal and primary necessity of human society. He would try to impress upon them that they were neither Westerners nor rulers, for such were temporary designations, and that the only truly dignified position, the eternal birthright of all, is to be a servant of Krishna's servants. Never flinching at Westerners' dialectic probing, he met them on their own ground. Complementing his conviction in Shastra's inerrancy with his inspired ability to present its message in a manner comprehensible to persons who regarded themselves of rational disposition, he bombarded intellectual visitors with its encyclopedic knowledge of both modern and traditional thought, and pummeled them with the realized conclusions of the acharyas, propounded not dogmatically but with impregnable reasoning, demonstrating that Gaudiya Vaishnavism reveals truths unimaginable to the mere pedant. Those xenophobes who prided themselves on being natural repositories of learning, philosophy, morals, culture, and God's grace, who took as self-evident the inherent goodness of the white man and the need to wash the heathen in the blood of the lamb, inevitably had their arguments toppled and their chauvinistic hubris mangled by the transcendental genius of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, and became compelled to admit the unthinkable, that they had something to learn from the East. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur ki! Like Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur before him, Srila Saraswati Thakur was confident of capturing Western minds by offering them a systematic philosophical approach and concepts beyond their present range of thought. But first, he had to overcome prejudices and stalk accusations against aspects of Vedic culture that Westerners considered heretical, absurd, or otherwise indefensible, such as Krishna's immorality, gods with bestial forms, polytheism, and the practice of sati. Srila Saraswati Thakur was the only one capable of answering such allegations, which he did with indomitable ratiocination that silenced even the hardest skeptics. And I'm going to read just a little section of this preaching in the West, because when we walked in here today, I was thinking, he did it. Starting with this mat and a plan to fulfill the desire of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to bring Westerners to Mayapur and to have people all over the world chanting Hare Krishna and following the Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. He started in a humble way. Actually, he started by sitting and chanting a billion names of Krishna in a little hut. Actually, it was not even that. Just not even enough to keep the rain out. He held an umbrella over his head when it rained, and he kept on chanting day and night. He took a little bit of prasadam and went on chanting for many years with the goal of chanting 1 billion names, till Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally revealed to him, Shishi Radha Gandharvikat Girihari Ki Jai, that he should go out and preach the message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which he did. Preaching in the West. With Professor Sanyal's English, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, published on the Gaur Purnima, 1933, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati adjudged that the time had come for propagating Mahaprabhu's message in Europe. And on 10 April, his dream finally came true when Srimad Bhakti Pradeep Tirtha Maharaj, Srimad Bhakti Hridoy Ban Maharaj, and Samvidhananda Prabhu set off by ship from Bombay for London. Srimad Bipi Tirtha Maharaj was naturally pleasing by his winsome and devotional manner, and being elder and staid, was deemed immune to the jeopardy of Western influence. Srimad Bhan Maharaj was young, sprightly, and a dazzling orator. And Sambidananda Prabhu was to pursue a PhD. That missionaries from the heathen East were journeying to the heart of the empire to teach their Christian rulers about God underlined the ambition and scope of the Gaudiya mission and geometrically enhanced its prestige among the astonished Indian public. During a Harikatha in 1932, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati had voiced his aspiration and expectation for this difficult undertaking. Western savants may to some extent appreciate Lakshmi and Sita Devi, but it will take them much time to even begin to understand Sri Radha. Taking the shoes of Rupa and Sanatana on our heads, we are sending men to the West in hope of finding one genuine person through whom the Western world might someday or other be able to realize Mahaprabhu's teachings and the elevated nature of worship of Sri Radha Govinda. In a valedictory given on 18th March on the occasion of the departure from Calcutta of his overseas emissaries, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati expressed his profound hope for their seemingly impossible success. He briefed them on how they could accomplish their task by being pure and humble devotees, untainted by material attachment. Quote, "The happy day has come when we are destined to spread the teachings of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to distant corners of the earth. The spiritual service that we are dedicated to has passed the bud stage and is now a full-blown flower, whose aroma we must carry across the seas with the same willingness that characterized Sri Hanuman when he leapt over the wide ocean with Sri Ram's message. This extension of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's spiritual gift to foreign countries is our humble offering at his feet." We often talk about how the best offering that we can make to Srila Prabhupada is when we go out and distribute books and then bring him back the scores, which he said made him feel like a young man upon hearing. And the progress of the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the Western country is undoubtedly pleasing to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who, as we just heard, said that if one person could be found who come to the stage of devotional service in which he or she could realize the import of Radharani and take to this elevated path of pure devotional service, then he would consider his mission to be a success. Srila Prabhupada also writes in the Krishna book that if upon this venture of writing this summary of the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, one person reads it and becomes a pure devotee of Lord Krishna, I will consider my mission a success. So it's amazing how Lord Chaitanya helps those who try to spread his mission all over the world. And especially coming to these places and feeling the energy of this very center of Sri Navadvip Dham and the mercy of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, will be fortified to continue the path of devotional service ourselves and also to give it to as many people as possible in the Western countries. And we can remember our connection here. The main process of advancing in devotional service is to follow the acharyas, because there are many shastric statements, and many intelligent people take those shastric statements and they use them in various ways. So ultimately, the real path of devotional service can be deduced by witnessing the process given to us by the great Acharyas. And here Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur has enshrined the four great Acharyas of the Vaishnava Sampradayas. And he has also, in his writings and in his mood and method, showed us the path of serving Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, following the footsteps of his great father, the Acharya in his own right, Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur, who said, Jive doi Krishna nam sarvadharma sar. He narrows it down to one sutra, that real dharma means showing mercy to the fallen souls by widely and loudly chanting the holy names of the Lord. So we're at the right place at the right time in history, and we've been brought here to take blessings so that we can imbibe the real mood of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and take it out and give it to everybody as much as possible. Go Premanande Haribo! And now we're going to go see Sri Radhakund and Giri Govardhan, who are just in back here, and also the Samadhi of Srila Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj. We'll circumambulate those places, take some holy water from Sri Radhakund, which was established here by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and then we'll circumambulate those places and we'll head back to go to our next destination, which is Yogpi, where we will see first Lord Shiva, who is the protector of the Dham, will take his blessings, and we can roll in the dust at the birthplace of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And after we have some kirtan there and darshan, then we'll go to our favorite place on earth, Shiva Sangam, where the Harinam Sankirtan party first started, and where anyone who walks in will feel the mercy of the kirtan and of the panchatapa who dance there to their heart's content. Vancha kalpa durvascha kripasindaviyavacha patitanam bhavanibhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Sri Radhakund ki jai, Giriraj Govardhan ki jai, Srila Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj ki jai. Go Premanande.
Did you say the four acharyas?
Yes, four acharyas.
Where are they?
You walk around.
On the back side?
They may be closed now, but you'll see the little sign there. There's Madhva, and then Nimbarka. You go all the way around, you can see them. Kirtan. Okay.
Thank you.